With Philip's permission, I'm going to talk about a couple of verses that were in his sermon tonight. Of course, I didn't know exactly what was in his sermon when I prepared, so I think it's not too much overlap, so we should be fine. So the verses I had in mind were Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10. So verse 9, "For in him," that is in Christ, "dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And so just to think with me a little bit about the fact that the fullness of God dwells in Jesus. It's quite an arresting statement. How can the fullness of God dwell in a physical body? One of the things that helps us understand what's going on here is the word "dwell" is literally the word for living in a place or being somewhere. And it's the word that's used by God to describe His commitment to be in the midst of His people. So, for example, in Exodus 15, verse 17, Moses writes, "You will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established." So here, the sanctuary, the tabernacle, is called the dwelling place of God, God's own dwelling. Moses told the people that God was going to put a sanctuary in their midst. In other words, a holy place where He was going to dwell among them. And of course, that didn't mean that God was somehow limited to the sanctuary. Acts 17:24, Paul says, "God who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands." And of course, the idea there is God couldn't be confined to the tabernacle or to the temple, but God was really there in a special way. His special presence of blessing dwelt with His people because of His grace. And so Paul's reminding the Colossians that in Jesus, God Himself had come to live with His people, but in such a much better way. As Matthew Henry says in his commentary, "Under the law, the presence of God dwelt between the cherubim in a cloud which covered the mercy seat, but now it dwells in the person of our Redeemer who partakes of our nature and is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh and has more clearly declared the Father to us. It dwells in Him bodily, not as the body is opposed to the spirit, but as the body is opposed to the shadow. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in the Christ really, not figuratively, for He is both God and man." That's very interesting what Matthew Henry's saying there. He's saying, and children, you've studied this in your Sunday school classes, the Shekinah glory, the cloud that was over the tabernacle, that was with the people in the day, and then the pillar of fire by night, that God really was with them, and that was a sign that God was with them. But what we're saying here is we have something so much better. We have God with us in the person of Jesus Christ, who can relate to us, who is like us, who we can know and interact with personally. So the fullness of God dwells in Jesus. And then these verses in Colossians also tell us that the Spirit of God dwells in your church. So Colossians 2:10, so right after he says, "For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily," Paul writes, "And you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power." And Philip talked about this in his sermon, but the word literally means you're filled. You're filled in Him. How is it that we are filled in Christ? And yes, Philip brought out in the sermon how this is compared to other things people were trying to fill themselves with. But I think it's fascinating in light of this concept of the dwelling place of God and the Shekinah glory, that that same Spirit that filled the tabernacle, that filled the temple, is the Spirit that dwells in the people of God. That's the Spirit, because Jesus has risen from the dead, that He sends to indwell His people. So Paul can write in Ephesians 2, verse 22, "In Jesus you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." And when he says "you also," that's the plural "you." He's talking to the church. He's saying you people in the church, collectively as a group, you are being built into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. That's a wonderful truth, that the church is the glorious body of Christ, the repository of the Holy Spirit on the earth. And I know sometimes you look around and you say, we don't look like the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit on the earth. But that's who you are. That's what God says you are. You are the place where His Spirit dwells. That Shekinah glory that was with the people in the Old Testament, that glory is with you if you're a Christian. That's why at Pentecost, flames of fire came down. There were visible flames on people's head when the Holy Spirit was poured out. To make that connection, that Spirit dwells in God's people. So the Spirit dwells in your church. And then thirdly, God's dwelling in the church is pictured and experienced in the Lord's Supper. To a non-Christian, this must seem bizarre at the best, right? Just bizarre. You eat a tiny meal, like a thimble and a crumb, and you call that a meal to celebrate a person who died 2,000 years ago. How does that make any sense? Even in the first century, critics of the Christians said there's some kind of cannibalistic ritual they do where they eat their founder of their religion. We don't really understand. The people are strange. And in fact, the whole thing only makes sense if you recognize this concept that God is committed to dwelling with and in His people. God was with us in the tabernacle and the temple. He came nearer to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And He's closest to us now as He lives in us through the Holy Spirit. And if we're living repositories of the Holy Spirit, then taking our Lord in spiritually, not physically, but spiritually, suddenly makes sense. We don't need a lot of food here because it's not about the physical elements. It's about the spiritual partaking of Christ as He feeds us. And we have to recognize what God is doing is giving us physical symbols of a spiritual reality. The reality that that Christ dwells in Jesus and dwells in the church and dwells in you if you are a Christian. The living God is with you and He wants you to know that He's with you beyond any shadow of a doubt. And that's one of the reasons why we have the sacrament. Throughout the scripture, God's provided physical signs of His invisible promises and grace. Think about them. The rainbow, reminding us that God sustains the earth and provides for us. A smoking torch that passes through the divided animals, reminding that God swears by Himself He's going to keep His covenant promise. The rite of circumcision, which we heard about in the sermon. The Passover. The tabernacle, with its priest, its altar, and its sacrifices. Even things like the king itself in their nation, to remind them of His promises and His covenant love for His people. And so recognize that one of the primary physical signs God's given you and me of His commitment to dwell in the midst of His people is this sacrament. There's only two sacraments. And they play a huge role in the life of the church because we are physical beings. And we need to be reminded by physical signs of these spiritual realities. God wants you to know, I am with you. And I'm committed to living in your church with you. And recognize if we understand that significance, that makes a tremendous difference who we are. We are the dwelling place of God on the earth. And by God's grace, may He help us take the spiritual nourishment from this meal and live like we are the dwelling place of God in the Holy Spirit. Amen.